This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Now, we do know we have a new minister of health, and we also have a new minister of Mosti.
Yes.
Who has recently been in the news because he has said that whether Malaysia can produce a homegrown COVID-19 vaccine.
Yes, because that's what he said. He would be mobilizing scientists in the country who have expertise in the field of public health to innovate, especially, as you said, in the making and production of vaccine. Now, he also added that he'll be carrying out bilateral arrangements with other countries that have successfully produced the COVID-19 vaccine. As it stands, leading COVID-19 developers come from the US, Russia, China, India, and the partnerships between the US and Germany for Pfizer and the US, UK and Sweden for Oxford AstraZeneca. Recently, Cuba also announced its very own COVID-19 vaccine as the country struggles to battle the disease. But is this too ambitious for Malaysia, or do we have what it takes to venture into vaccine making?
So for more on this, we're speaking to Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, who is the Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead of Infection and Immunity Research Strength at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Vinod. Now, what are your thoughts about the government's plans to produce our own COVID-19 vaccine?
Hi, guys. Good morning, and thanks for having me again. I really think that it's a brilliant idea to produce our own vaccines, not confined only to COVID-19, but also for future pandemics, right? But in order to do this, we require a solid foundation in terms of the platform we are going to use in the long run. For example, if we take current COVID-19 vaccines, some deliver instructions for making the protein, the form of messenger RNA, like the Pfizer and Moderna. Some deliver the spike protein itself, like Novavax. Some use another, harmless virus to ferry in instructions to make it, like a Trojan horse, say. For example, Johnson & Johnson, Oxford AstraZeneca, and a Sputnik V, right? And also some offer, whole inactivated virus, like the Sinovac and Sinopharm, right? Now, what are the advantages, right? Despite the market dominance of vaccine manufacturers based in high and middle-income countries, right, there are many reasons why a developing country like Malaysia may want to establish their own vaccine supply, right? Now, this include, supply security, control over production scheduling and sustainability, say control of cost, socioeconomic development, and rapid response to local epidemics or global pandemics, right? Now, like you said before, like one good example is from our neighboring country, Vietnam's development of its own COVID-19, the NanoCovax, right, which is nearing completion after phase 3 trials. And, the manufacturers are claiming that an efficacy rate of 90%. That's really good news.
So, you talk about we have to make a decision on which pathway it takes. But once we make that choice, right, can you perhaps explain what goes into manufacturing vaccines, right? For example, the kind of investments in laboratories and factories required.
Sure. So vaccine production actually involves a complex range of steps, right, that requires not only significant upfront investments in R&D. I'm talking about preclinical research. I'm talking about fundamental research, where we have to put millions in, right? But it also involves in selecting suppliers of key ingredients, setting up manufacturing processes, quality check, sourcing primary and secondary packaging. So it's a huge process, right? Now, each vaccine has specific active components, right? We call it the antigen, which generates different immune responses, right? Some contain an inactivated form or a component of a disease-causing organism, right? Some has a blueprint, right? Like the mRNA vaccines, right? Which produces intracellular antigen, right? Right. So that determines what kind of manufacturing process or plant which is needed, right? Which one is needed, right? Right. Apart from that, vaccine production requires more than core ingredients. Right? For example, you have to look at, the vials production, the rubber stoppers. It's a huge industry, right? Transportation, maintenance, right? Now, what kind of factory we need? Like I said before, depends on what platform you're using, right? Say we have a vaccine platform, right? Built entirely from inactivated forms of viruses, say like the Sinovac, right? So the production and purification, right, of whole virus at high concentration in huge bioreactors, right, could require facilities with biosafety level 3 certification, right? Now, this is example for inactivated form of viruses or vaccines, right? Now, it also should follow good manufacturing practices for biological products and, you know, pharmaceutical preparation set by the WHO and international bodies. So these are some of the basic things that we need before we go into production. First, R&D. Second, production.
And do we have this solid R&D system in place or facilities that are ready to do this? Or should we consider, Dr. Vinod, private-public partnerships with like universities and Malaysian companies?
Well, definitely. So, because that is the fastest way, in my opinion, to get our own vaccine in production, right? Now, I personally think that we do have the brains, we do have the science for a solid R&D system or platform to develop our own vaccine, right? Like I said before, especially on the preclinical work, the type of platform needed, the efficacy of the platform. I can give one example, right? We have researchers using a virus, which is commonly found in birds, which is called Newcastle disease virus, right? Now, they are using this as a platform to stimulate our immune system to fight cancer, right? However, the same platform can be used, can be repurposed, and can be used to deliver, say, DNA encoding the SARS coronavirus spike protein, like many other vaccines, right? To stimulate antibody production against the spike protein. Now, this is one normal way we can do, right? Now, the problem is most of the studies in Malaysia are fundamental or academic level. And I believe it needs to be pushed to translational level, right? And most of the time, these studies lack funding to bring it forward, right? Now, once the science checks, right, mass production, right, according to international standards, it's another issue that we have to think, right? Now, we already have existing facilities. For example, we know that Pharma Niaga has a plant producing, bottled, fill and finish Sinovac vaccines, right? So maybe we can expand that. Right. So I think it is doable.
And let's say we get the clinical trials done and they have the manufacturing capacity done. Eventually, from an approval process, all roads do lead back to MOH, right? And PRA has to approve this, right? Could you share a bit more about the approval process then?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In Malaysia, we have stringent processes and procedures, right, as required by the NPRA before any approval is obtained, right? Product process validation and stability testing of the vaccines could take, weeks to months before it is approved as the final product. Now, this is after all the science checks, after all preclinical trials has been done, and also, human clinical trials have been done, right? And they have really, really stringent, criteria before they approve it as a final product in Malaysia. Like, internationally, if you look at internationally, right? Now, generally, there are a couple of stages in development of a vaccine, right? A cycle of a vaccine, right? First, you have the exploratory stage, you have the preclinical stage, you have the clinical development, you have regulatory review and approval, you have manufacturing and quality control, right? Clinical development is a three-phase process, right? You have phase 1, 2, and 3. And most of the time, phase 1, you have small group of people receiving trial vaccine. Phase 2, the numbers are expanded, right? You have characteristics such as age, physical health, right? And in phase 3, you have thousands of participants, right? From various backgrounds, just like all the other vaccines, Sinovac, Pfizer, Moderna, right? And once you have the results, once you have the efficacy data, most of the time the vaccine manufacturers publish it in world-class journals, reputable journals, right? Lancet, New England Journal of Medicine, Nature, right? So that itself is an accreditation, right? And next you have to approve, you get WHO's approval, right? They have something which is called WHO's Emergency Use Listing Approval, right? It's a prerequisite for international procurement. Right. It also allows countries to expedite their own, import and export of vaccines. Right. And most of the time they assess the safety, efficacy, production plant, of the production plant, risk management, suitability, cold chain requirements, things like that. So it's a stringent process.
All right.
Especially when you want to have international recognition.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead at the Infection and Immunity Research Strang, Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences, giving us a rather detailed explanation in terms of the entire process to get vaccinations to final approval stage.
Yeah, I think...
So not easy.
Not easy.
No, and I think the right way is probably like what he suggested. We already have the R&D. We have some of the brightest minds. How do we get them to work on a collaborative basis?
I think the question of scale is the big one. But if people are already having conversations about booster shots and so on and so forth and about managing future pandemics, I guess there's some logic. And I guess that's why the poll is also saying, right, should Malaysia channel its resources to make homegrown COVID-19 vaccines? And a good 42% say yes, eventually, but not yet.
Yeah. Akad datang is the word. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.